Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.
6:12 it is, Ruined Dits on this Tuesday morning. What's making news around the world? Sorry? What's going on? What is that?
That's a
dog impersonation,
in Bali that's just been killed and then eaten on the street food.
What are you talking about?
That's what's happening in Bali.
They're not serving dog.
They're serving dog.
No.
In street food. It's been going on for ages.
No.
They go and find stray dogs and they catch them and then they kill them. Well, they actually poison them. And then they kill them and they cut them up and serve them for street food to tourists.
We're going to Bali for tourists. Holidays this year.
Well, you might be having a bit of roast Rottweiler.
Rottweiler?
Yeah.
Little bit of Chihuahua's you just sprinkled over as well.
Oh, no.
That's terrible, right?
Hey, it's not me that's doing it. This is what's happening in good old Bali, the place where Aussies love to go for their holidays. Where you and
everyone always
go.
Everyone always jokes about stray dogs and stray cats in that part of the world, but it's true, is it?
Well, it is true. It is true. It's disgusting. I'm going to ask the Angels later how they'd go if they found out they had a little bit of shih tzu.
Ooh,
for lunch, a little
no.
bit of shih tzu salad.
Oh, no.
Beautiful.
Ooh. I suppose different parts of the world, people eat different things, don't they? And
bit
don't bat an eyelid. Your old mob, the Italians, when I was there, we ate horse, which I never realised anyone served up horse. And I did the old, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. And the fellow said, you are. I said, what?
Oh, no. Titch.
It's true, though. In Italy, they slice it thinly.
Yeah. No, you would. What's the difference between a horse and a bloody cow?
Only the slow horses, not the good ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
A big day in town today. Very exciting. And the superstars are already here, Roo. What's the big restaurant? Is it Osteria, our number one restaurant?
Osteria Oggy?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Spotted last night.
Best Italian.
Lee Matthews, Dennis Cometti, Bruce McAvaney having dinner last night.
Oh, gee.
So they're already in town, all the big names. Very exciting, though.
Oh, it is.
How many people will be at the show tonight?
Oh, I don't know, Dits, but it'll be full, that's for sure. And it's the best night on the AFL calendar, bar none. So behave yourself tonight.
And this is the night. No, I want to make a name for myself. Come on.
Last time I took you to an AFL event, you were like a dog off the chain.
3 votes, yeah.
Yeah. I got him, Mel. I got him into the front doors. We've been together all day, you know, like mates. And then got inside the front door and boom, straight off the bloody lead. He was like an unregistered dog, old Dits. Yeah. And
I want to thank
about 2 a.m. when he knocked on the door. I haven't got my room key.
No, I want to thank that lady that brought me back to the room as well. not a lady that I'd met if you know.
She was a cleaner,
and she walked in and said, "Do you know this bloke?" And Roo went, "Yes, yeah. Hey, he's staying here."
Yep. Dits couldn't talk.
No, it wasn't. I just didn't have my key.
Yeah, or your voice box.
What's happening with Mick Jagger?
Mick Jagger, his brother's had a little bit to say. He said, "Mick, it's time you got the snip."
Do you think?
Yeah, well, maybe. He had his eighth child, a son, in December, so 6 months ago.
Mm.
And his brother said, "Mate, do you realise your youngest son is older than your great-grandchild?"
How's that for a family tree?
No, his great-grandchild's older than his youngest son.
Tie a knot in it, Mick.
Yeah, tie a knot. I reckon you've had enough. I reckon you've given it a good going over.
It still works,
then. Yeah, so Mick Jagger might get the snip.
Yeah, and another good story out of Bali, too, the jail escape. These fellas have tunnelled out of there, including one Australian from WA. But
wasn't the Aussie getting out due for release in
2 or 3 months? Couldn't wait.
Could not wait.
No, talk about
wanted to go and get a bit of dog meat.
The menu's not good in there, they reckon.
No.
Yeah, so they've tunneled out of there.
Yeah, have they been caught? They haven't yet, have they?
No, they're on the run.
The next part to getting away from Bali will be a bit difficult. Although he was in there for stolen passport, wasn't he, or false passport?
They won't notice him at the airport, will they?
Nah.
Nah.
As long as he's got cash.
That's right.
He'll be fine.
Oh. Hey, just quickly, I want to say good morning to John, a friend of mine up there in Harndorf. You know how you had that great story a couple of years ago about the lady that makes her fella wear the Roo mask, the Mark Ricciuto mask, when they're, getting amorous?
Mm-hmm.
Bloke said to me last night in Harndorf, he said, "Bloody hell." He said, "I woke up yesterday morning feeling a bit frisky, a bit amorous." He said, "And the clock radio came on." He said, and then we hear your voice. Oh. He said, well, that put an end to that, didn't it? So I just wanted to say I'm sorry to all the people. If I am the passion killer.
Got me to speak more.
If you could, yeah. More of you, Roo. Anyway, it's Roo and Ditz here, all thanks to Adelaide Tools.
Roo and Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, we're doing a daily update on terrorism, unfortunately. Yep. There have been more incidents. Let's firstly talk about this one in London, which it is turning into a bit of us versus them, unfortunately. What I do condone, and the fact that we, let's call ourselves the West, if you like, Australia, Britain, and the US, is that we don't condone any of this sort of thing. So this is a fella, a married father of four from Wales, who has gone into a Muslim stronghold, an area in North London, and tried to run them over. And the great thing is that we come out straight away and say we do not condone anything like this, and we are totally against it.
Not going to achieve anything, is it?
No, it's not.
The man allegedly responsible for this attack is a 47-year-old man called Darren Osborne from Cardiff in Wales. Now, that does seem to suggest that this attack was premeditated because the rental van that was used to carry out the attack was rented in Wales, and the rental company has been advised by police not to say anything about it. This is what makes this slightly different, Luke, is that this terrorist is still alive. The last few attacks, the Westminster Bridge, Manchester Arena bombing, they were killed. So a lot of information comes out and police keeps the public informed. This is still an ongoing investigation. This man could go to trial. There's been reports from his neighbours that he was a very aggressive, racist neighbour, that he abused a lot of Muslims in his area, and many people there are not surprised that he has carried out this devastating attack on the mosque here.
So that's Kath Turn from Channel 7 talking to Triple M overnight. Now, Roo, this bloke, no matter who he is, where he comes from, he has to get 30 years at least.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure what the rules are over there, but he's going to hit a long one, isn't he?
He has to,
absolutely.
I mean, this is crazy. It's just ridiculous. Another incident overnight, this one in Paris.
That incident in Paris, it's the fifth of its kind in the capital city of France. That country is very much on high alert, and the foreign minister has said that that just shows that the security threat is really serious. This guy targeting a police convoy that was travelling down the Champs-Élysées and targeted the lead vehicle. He smashed his car into that front car. And immediately police jumped out of their cars, dragged the man out, and there was an explosion inside the car. And the police doused his car, put out those flames. He was killed. The police haven't confirmed how, but it's believed he may have been shot dead. And it's now understood that a number of weapons and explosives were found in that car, and the anti-terror police are now investigating.
There you go. She says the fifth time something like this has happened in Paris. Now, that was on the Champs-Élysées, arguably the busiest part of Paris. It's where all tourists go to. So, frightening stuff. Now, Roo, the most alarming thing for me that I've read overnight, this is breaking news, and you'll see this on news.com. Russian President Vladimir Putin now says that US planes will be aerial targets in Syria. So on Sunday, a US plane shot down a Syrian plane.
Yeah, where'd they do that, do you know?
All I know is it was in Syria.
Right.
Now, this is where I'm confused about this, is that Syria itself is fighting ISIS, right? Mm. It's fighting Islamic State. The US are fighting Islamic State as well.
Yep.
So this is where I'm a bit confused, because it seems as though they're on opposing sides, because all of a sudden Putin comes in and says to America, you fly your planes over there again, we're gonna shoot you down. Now, if the US and America start doing this, Roo, we are in for the biggest fight you've ever seen.
Mm. No, let's just hope it's related to that area, Ditz, and they're just squabbling over sort of where you should be patrolling or where you should be shooting down planes. I know that might be a simplistic view, but hopefully that they're both big enough and smart enough to know that they don't want to start anything much bigger than that.
Mm. Not a good thing to read, though, this morning.
No.
Mm. All right.
Why is he siding with Syria?
I'm confused by this. I don't know. See, there's also a civil war going on in Syria that so far has claimed 400,000 lives. So who's fighting who and who's on whose side? Honestly, it's that confusing.
Yeah, that's right. And how hard are they doing and what are they trying to get out of it? I don't know. It's too hard for me to
understand.
All I
know is at the moment you've got Putin and Trump in charge. That scares the living bejesus out of me.
Yep, it sure does. Mm. And We'll stay in little old Adelaide and hopefully we'll be all right for a little bit longer, Dits, but it's not good, is it?
I'm going to live in Yunta.
Yunta, yeah. Peterborough.
Somewhere out there, yeah. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 18 today. It's going to be beautiful in Adelaide. And
it's
a
like
big,
it every
big,
day in Adelaide.
It's paradise. Yeah. Big, big night in Adelaide today as well. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, some would say the biggest night of the year or the best function of the year in the AFL circles, the AFL Hall of Fame, and we're very, very lucky that it is in Adelaide today, and I want to know why. And we've got the AFL CEO, Gil McLachlan, joining us now. Good morning, Gil.
Hey, Rude. It's Howie.
You're sharing the love, bringing the big show to town.
We are. Before we go forward, we have to talk about that song.
Why is that?
Did you make love to it back in the day?
You cannot play it anymore.
Hey, mate, I'm on your side.
Oh, my God. I felt like I was sort of at Port Wallunga in 1988.
Sorry, we're talking to the Triple M music director or the CEO of the AFL? What's going on?
It's usually Dits that whinges about the music. So, Gil, it's good.
I'm trying to help you. That
oh, done. Thank you.
Anyone who goes, did it, you got to go, that's out.
You shouldn't drink at this time of the morning.
Good.
Crikey.
Well, have you brought the big show to town, mate? It's fantastic, and we've got a great facility in Adelaide, and is that the reason, or...?
I think South Australia deserves it, really. We're a national game. There's a lot of South Australians represented in the Hall of Fame now, and you know, I guess we're thrilled to bring it here.
You're happy that we've heard a few rumours that maybe Malcolm Blight's going to be legend status or John Halbert's going to be inducted. Is it good things for the media to go early on these calls, or should they sort of, you know, toe the line and keep it quiet?
Well...
what would you prefer?
I think they should respect embargoes, but a little bit of speculation doesn't hurt, does it? Can't comment, but it'd be great if some South Australians are in tonight.
While you're talking about the national game, there's been a bit of talk about Tasmania getting a side, and I think I've read this morning that North Melbourne should consider going down there. Where are you in terms of having a Tasmanian side full-time?
Well, I've sort of said, Drew, that yeah, I think Tasmania deserves its own team. They're as passionate as South Australians or Victorians about their footy. They've just got, you know, I'm real about the fact they've got some structural challenges down there in terms of the economy, population, industry. You know, there's some challenges politically with North and South and others. So it means we're in a situation where we've got Kangaroos in the South and Hawthorn in the North. I think it's challenging to think of their own Tasmanian team. But my preferred model is to have one team playing in Tassie in the north and the south representing Tasmania. But
yep.
we've got issues getting there, but we have sort of pretty constant dialogue with the clubs and with the Tasmanian government and Tasmanian footy how we can continue to evolve to have a better model down there.
But just on that, Gil, from an economic point of view, couldn't they argue that you did it for the Gold Coast and you support them? We know perhaps the reasons why you've gone into Western Sydney because it could be an enormous growth area in 20 to 30 years, but Tasmania could look at the Gold Coast example and say, well, that could be us, couldn't they?
Yeah, the issue there is that in Queensland, there is strategic growth. We weren't the dominant code, and they're growing, population's growing to over a million people in the next 6 years. So those two facts mean there is strategic reasons to invest money in the Gold Coast. In Tassie, with a dominant player and there's stagnant population growth, so it's not the strategic rationale.
Sure.
It doesn't mean, though, that I think Tassie deserve it because they're a footy state and we need to have a better solution for them because they deserve it.
Certainly passionate down there. Hey, the collective bargaining agreement could be announced today, we're led to believe. Gil, is there anything surprising going to happen? We know what the players are sort of roughly going to get in terms of an increase in pay, but is there anything else that could be surprising or pretty straightforward? Anything you'll share with us?
Whenever it's announced, I don't think things are going to jump out. List sizes are going to 20. That's obviously going to be I reckon they'll be very fairly and very well paid. Mm-hmm. You're going to find it's all in a format that's pretty consistent with what we've been. I'm trying to give you something.
Yeah, I know you are.
There's nothing jumping Come on. Out at me.
Nothing. Okay.
What about now? You're in town, obviously, this morning. I've read in The Age today that you're meeting with Port Adelaide. What's that all about, Gil?
Meeting with both the clubs when we go to and the SANFL. So when we, you know, the commission tries to get around the country you know, they can't get to every state every year, but over the course of a few years, to every state, and then when they do, they meet with local body plus the club. So I think Sandford's late this morning, then the Crows, and then Port Adelaide, and they'll just be presenting their vision for the club, their sort of strategic plans, where they're going, and then talk to the commission about things on their mind. So it's a good chance to talk with the clubs and with the Sandful.
Just a quick one. Did you like the China experience? Did you, from your point of view, it was a well worthwhile exercise?
Yeah, I did. It was very hard work getting there, and Port did a huge amount of lifting, and my team in terms of the operations, it was, you know, hugely challenging. They're running power out of sort of chicken shops across the road.
That's what we'll be doing here soon.
That's
the South Australian model for running power.
Well, yeah, they had their own on treadmills generating power.
We've got mice. Start on the line, please, if you could. More with Gil McLaughlin in just a moment. We've been nice to him so far. We've time to turn the heat up. Gil McLaughlin, our special guest. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, CEO of the AFL, Gil McLaughlin, our special guest.
Dits, you've been far too nice to Gil. You always whinge about umpires.
Right.
Come on.
Gil, are you ready? Now,
out of bounds,
deliberate out of
ball.
Bounds. Now, I just want to put it to you this way, Gil. When I sit calling a game of football with the likes of Warren Treadray, Mark Ricciuto, I hear Wayne Carey, Jason Dunstall, people like that, and the ball goes out of play and they say, I haven't got a clue what they're going to pay here. Isn't that a bit of a worry or not?
I think it's time to replace the talent.
Hang on, Gil.
No, but it's a fair question to ask. If we don't know what's happening, surely
we're closer with that one, though. I think we're closer now.
No, we're not. No.
On the deliberate out of bounds, which is what I think you're referring to.
Yes.
I haven't heard any of the shrill Ricciuto squealing for about 6 weeks.
No, I haven't been squealing.
Do you know
too
why? Because we're sick of whinging about it. Honestly, it's now laughable, Gil, and that's the truth. That
I don't reckon that's right. I think you're being provocative. I reckon if you'd said to me at round six, you might have had a case. Not now. I think they've worked it out.
Do you know, Gil?
I know what the rule is, and I reckon it's not the issue it was. And before you roll into me again, I just want to say something. You can't. There's some errors, right? Like players make errors and umpires make errors. But I think you need to also talk about the generally consensus view that the footy's been fabulous this year.
No doubt about that, and part of
the reason why is because of the deliberate out of bounds rule, and that actually people can't go to the boundary, so they have to take risks and come through the middle of the ground.
But Gil,
and
the
you can't
problem
distance
is
the executional issues from what's making happen.
Yeah, but 1 minute you can go to the boundary, but then 30 seconds later you can't. This is the problem, and I would ask why. This is my gripe with it. Why do it? Because, do you know, for 100 years there's been deliberate out of bounds. You and I know if a bloke just goes bang and either punches it or kicks it straight out of play, we know it's deliberate. That rule's actually always been there. And no one ever paid it.
Yeah, I can't apologise for 100 years of poor interpretation.
So now, when a kick is absolutely accidental, sometimes off the side of the boot, and you kick it 50 metres and it takes a sideways bounce, you're going, oh, that's deliberate. That's ridiculous.
There will be mistakes. If it slews off the side of the boot, then it's not deliberate, and the umpires have made mistakes. But I don't think you could quote me one in the last month.
Gil, it's not me saying, it's not Chris Dittmar saying this, it's every single person I speak to. So, please, it's not a personal attack.
Do you think I don't get much feedback?
Well, then why are you defending it then? Why don't you say, yes, we're hearing
it? Because I think the rule is good and it's made a positive impact on the game.
It's a crap
the occasional
rule.
Mistake.
What about holding the ball, Gil? Are you comfortable with our interpretation of that? Because that's one there's a bit of inconsistency in.
Yeah, and I think that's one that, you know, I have a view, when in doubt, play holding the ball.
Yep.
And I do. I would prefer, generally, as a general comment, any doubt about, pay it. And I think that creates greater consistency and it's better for the game.
Yeah. Hey, what you were saying before about the evenness, it is amazing this year. I mean, even the Crows v. Hawthorn.
I haven't finished umpires yet. Sorry, don't move on yet. Hang on, we're only getting warm. Two men, what about the third man up in the ruck? This is farcical. We stand and say, Billy and Freddie, are you the two? Yes, I'm going to go up for this one. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I reckon you're full of rubbish. It's a small-minded approach, mate.
No,
I don't think anyone's
please.
Talked about the absence of third man up since about week two.
No, we do every week. We talked about it on the week. Do you listen to ABC? Well, this is Triple M here. We're actually modern and up with the modern standards of the game.
What about that song you played before? There's nothing
modern
about it.
You've got me there. All right, you win that argument. But no, seriously, if a team has tactics where they want three to go up, four to go up, that, so it should be. Like, you cannot meddle with that part of the game. To the point where...
contest have you stood under with a third man whacking your knee you in the back?
That's not the point.
Well,
it's tactical.
Part of it because part of it's to protect the ruckman.
Oh, please. All right, what about the fact where we stand there and have to wait? Why don't you just throw the ball up, and if a third person goes up, they get pinged? What about when we have to say, who's going up here? Surely that's a blight on the game.
Again, has it worked out for the first 3 weeks? There's some challenges. I haven't heard one issue about it in the last month.
Then you're not listening.
Yeah, well, not everyone's disagreeing. I'm disagreeing with you there, Ditz. I reckon early on some of those rules were inconsistent, but I think the game's in great shape. There'll be some...
I accept that people generally in life don't like change.
Then stop changing it.
The game's in a great shape.
It was right. Anyway. Which of these have made the game better? Seriously.
Well, I agree with the...
The deliberate out of bounds, definitely.
No. Anyway, I'll move on, Rue. To your next topic.
You've just sidetracked me.
You wanted to talk about the evenness of the competition.
The evenness of the competition, Gil. Where, do you think that's just purely from the equalisation stuff, or is it?
I think it's a combination of things. I think, you know, the clubs are making, with the ability for the lesser clubs now, with being given additional money, the ability to invest in off-field talent, coaching, development staff, I think, the fact that everyone, for the first time in my time in the AFL, everyone's got the same salary cap this year. I think that, you know, the absence of concessions settling down, and I think clubs are doing a good job and playing the system well. So it's a combination of things, but it's maybe we've got, you know, the best year of footy that I can remember.
Gil, thanks so much for your time. If you keep listening, we've got Nat King Cole coming up next. All right, just for you.
I love the irony about you talking about you don't want to change anything. We're listening to music out of the...
I want to keep you amused, not at this time of the morning. If you want to get up and take our call, we want to entertain. Gil, thanks for bringing the Hall of Fame to Adelaide as well. It's fantastic, and thanks for your time. Thanks so much.
Hopefully see you
there tonight. Righto, the CEO of the AFL, Gil McLaughlin.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Ruin, the news today. Did you see where... by the way, my wife's just texted in and said I have to apologise to Gil McLaughlin.
So you should. He would hate coming on this show.
I was just having
treated
a friendly,
like a bloody
friendly
work
discussion.
Experience kid.
God, are you serious? I'm standing up.
I warned you about that. I said, don't.
I'm standing
harass
up.
Him.
For
he won't
every...
come on the show. The only reason we get him because we know him, and you blast his eardrums out every time.
I'm standing up for every football supporter out there. It's not me. I'm speaking on behalf of everyone.
I reckon half the audience is going, "Yeah, Ditz, give it to him. We're behind." And the other half's going, "Shut up, Ditz, you idiot!
Like my
you
wife,
old bastard. You still want Fitzroy in the competition?
One of them's my wife." Righto. Anyway,
that's why we love him.
It's in the news today. They're going to do away with.
At least he's on your side with some of the songs.
Yeah, that's right. We do see on payphones.
Are they still around?
A thing of the past.
Get rid of them. Who uses the things? They're only used for dodgy people using dodgy phone calls, aren't they?
Really?
They've already dropped down from about 50,000 a few years ago down to 25, but they're on their way out.
But if we didn't have them, would there be people out there that cannot afford a mobile phone and may have an emergency?
Yep, probably is, unfortunately. Yep, and that's why they'll probably still have a few.
So I suppose we could have like...
You don't use them anyway, do you?
Oh, I can't stand. You know what? Touching a public phone, like germs and...
What, are you too clean, are you, Chris?
No, but they're too dirty.
Oh,
they
what?
Are.
What's
public
so
phones.
Dirty about them?
Oh, people do all sorts of things to them. They do.
Well,
so,
what do they do to phones? Put them near their ear?
You know, well, people haven't cleaned their ears or whatever. Do you know the other one I don't
You're
like?
You're paranoid about
ATM.
Germs, aren't you?
Buttons on ATMs, same. They're filthy.
Buttons on ATMs.
I line up behind some people
I thought you were just a tight ass. That's why you never used your ATM. So you're actually scared of germs.
Yeah, they're filthy.
Right.
We need some sort of cleaning
to the public
process.
Toilet?
Can we have a person stand there and clean after each person has used it, please?
How do you go to the public toilet?
No, that's out of bounds for sure.
What do you say? What?
Don't go.
You don't go.
Wait till I get home. Yeah. No, there's no, way you can
what
go to a public
toilet. What else
are
you scared of? Tell me more. Come on.
Door handles aren't good. No, just go
back
to the phone.
How do you open the door?
So it doesn't bother you at all that when you go and pick up a phone that 1,000 people have used it and haven't washed their hands.
No, I haven't used a payphone for
greasy hair and ears and what. It doesn't bother you at all?
No.
God. No, I can't stomach it.
What do you think? They're just jumping onto your hand and they're going to invade your body? And
I don't know. You're gonna get I then have to use the same hands.
Sick.
I might be eating my salad roll.
And what's going to happen after that?
Oh, that's filthy. It's dirty. None of that crosses your mind.
No, not at all.
Help me out here. 133353. What's filthy? Like, public phones are filthy. Please help me.
You
here.
Want other clean freaks to ring in and say, what are they scared of?
Or the other
is
things
that what you're after?
Yeah, or the other things that you don't like touching or using out there in public. The other one, actually, which I have to use all the time, parking meters in the city. And you know.
What are you scared of parking
I'll
meters?
I'll tell you what, when we were kids, there were always those filthy people that would deliberately slag in the slot, right? And so you, when your change comes down, you put your fingers in there to get your money out, and some dirty person.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. There are creeps out
now there. Now the reasons why are coming out.
There are creeps out there that do this sort of thing.
What, like the creeps that steal milk money? Those sort
they're,
of people?
They're different.
They're different.
They're lying, yeah.
All right. Oh. So look at the phones light
phones
up,
have lit up.
There's a lot of clean freaks in Adelaide.
All right, 133353, let us know. It's Ruined Dits thanks to Adelaide Tools on Triple M.
Triple M.
Now, Padman's tweeted in, whoever he or she is, and says, if a bookie pays out dits, do you ask for clean notes? Well, see, I actually follow Roo's tips. And I've never been paid out, so I've never had to cross that bridge.
I'm one of the all-time bad runs.
I
can tell you. Even though I backed the horse on the last on the weekend, Dits, and was about to win the bloody jockey jump.
I know. That's
serious.
When you know you're going rough.
Oh, man, they're trying to get me off the punt big time. Let's go to Manopara. G'day, Darren.
There you go, mate. How you going, fellas?
Are you like Dits? Are you a bit scared of germs?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I understand what he's trying to say with the doorknobs and whatnot, but I'm not into that. But the fruit or tomatoes or apples, you know, you go to a supermarket and there's an idiot coughing in front of you or standing there sneezing, and then they pick it up and feel it, and they don't like the feeling of it, and they put it back down again.
Yes.
If I buy it, I actually take it home, wash it, then put it in the fridge.
Get on
really?
Down.
Yeah.
See, I'll get fruit and veg, and I don't even wash them like that, which is stupid because I know they get sprayed and all sorts. Cause I'm obviously grown up. Yeah, let's go to Hallett Cove. G'day, Chris.
Morning. Two things: escalator handrails.
Yeah.
I refuse to put my hands on them. I'll use my elbows.
We'll get your elbows dirty, but not your hands.
Well, I don't eat with my elbows.
That's right.
I'm not from the Riverlands, so.
No, I know.
And then you got toilet doors in the pub. I'll use the front of my shirt. I open the door if it's not swinging.
I've seen
right.
a lot of blokes do that. Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yep.
And, do you ever get crook, Chris?
Not until I started working for myself and I had no bloody sick days.
Good on you, Chris.
Well done.
Well done. Let's go to Morphavale. G'day, Kimbo.
Hey, fellas. I work at the airport, so when I go take a leak and I'm watching people walk out of the cubicles and walk straight out without washing their hands, I'm sitting there watching the door handle, waiting for somebody to push it open for me to get out or grab a paper towel because, honestly, there's a lot of people do it, take a crap and touch and don't wash their hands.
Good on you, Kim.
Mm, yeah.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. Morphavale, g'day, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? I'm not a germaphobe, but I clean the doorknobs around the place at least once a month. That's got to be done.
Yep.
Yeah, you're a doorknob cleaner?
Yeah, and also I don't give my bank card out, you know, and people try to take your bank card. I don't let anyone touch my bank card.
No, what
so
about
if you
your wife?
Pay wave it or swipe it, you do it yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I'm not the only freak here, Ruth.
There's lot. There's a bunch of you people.
Yeah,
we
haven't heard from this lady for a while.
No,
I thought she'd jumped off.
Roxanne?
Where you
I'm
been?
Good. Hello. Hello to everybody out there who harasses me all the time about ringing up the radio. Yeah.
No, you're off the ban list. You served your 3 months.
Well, look, I'm promoting your station.
Good on you.
Thank you, Roxanne. We appreciate it.
Right. Shopping trolleys have lots and lots of germs on. However, I would like to say getting germs is a good thing. It boosts your immune system,
exactly.
Not when you go to the toilet and wash your hands, though. But Dits, you need to stop being a sissy. Get over yourself.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
Dits.
Not that bad.
Oh, you're kidding,
girl.
No, this worries me, Roxanne.
Well, it does boost your immune system,
right.
Either
That's why he doesn't go to the gym, because of all the sweat that's on all the machinery.
All the people that touch the machinery.
Go and play in the dirt, it. Go and play in the dirt.
He grew right, up there. Well.
Thanks, Roxanne. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, we've missed
no,
Roxanne.
No, you got plenty of people. Yeah, we have missed Roxanne.
All right. No, yeah. See, plenty of people on my side.
Yep.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Brilliant, Dave. Great to be in Adelaide. It's like this. We've had 3 weeks of this stuff, haven't we?
Yeah, beautiful. I just want to check on this man to see that he's all right, that he's still got a job. Peter Hellier, good morning.
Dave, I'm not. Don't be worried about me, mate. I'm worried about you. I heard the Gill exchange. I think we're all a bit worried. I think there needs to be some kind of intervention. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. My pride's been a bit
okay?
bad. Yeah.
It's hard working with him, Pete. You're grumpy. Very grumpy.
I haven't heard him that testy since he took on the Khan boys back in the 80s and squash.
So you pay one free kick against Port Adelaide, and I bear a grudge for a year, you see.
Oh, well, we have Port, the Pies have Port this week. And
that's right.
They, well, if the Pies can beat Port this week, then the finals are coming.
Hey, you boys should have a little bet on that, I would have thought.
Yeah, all right.
What do you reckon, Pete?
Yeah, about a six-pack of Coopers.
You're not confident, Pete.
No. I'll see how the week pans out. I'll see if Jamie Alley can get up and play. But you were upset about the third man up and the out of bounds rule. I'm okay with those. The one that gets me at the moment is the incorrect disposal. It's all over the place. That's a rule we all grew up with, and they still can't get it right.
He actually agreed with that, Gil. He just couldn't say it. Hey, is Strawny going to the Hall of Fame tonight?
No, he's been snubbed again, mate.
What? I thought he might be going into legend status.
You would think so. He's actually had a media ban since he's not coming out of it until he gets the legend status. And I'm not sure if Gil or the AFL are taking any notice of the media ban.
Oh, they don't take him seriously, do they?
Now, no, they did not, sir.
Now, Pete, you want to talk about the rules for men shopping?
Yeah, so heading off to Japan on Thursday for a bit of holiday with the family, my wife said to me, listen, our 12-year-old Aiden needs clothes. She didn't have time to take him down to the local shopping centre and get some clothes. So I stood up and did it all within. And we got two pairs of pants. We got about three T-shirts, a couple of nice shirts, collared shirts, and a jumper as well, all within half an hour.
Oh, perfect.
Under half an hour.
See, good shopping. It can be done.
It can be done. So I thought I'd just share some tips for any blokes who have to do a similar thing, so you can get it done under half an hour as well. First of all, no browsing. Browsing's not allowed. If you look at something for more than 10 seconds, you're buying it. That's you're taking it home. Number two, you can save a lot of waste a lot of time at the checkout counter. I bought a pair of sunglasses a while ago. They want to know, you know, your name, your phone number, your ABN, your next of kin. So I now wear a T-shirt that's saying, and it says on it, no, I don't have a loyalty card. And it saves me at least a couple of minutes.
You know, the problem is, next guy, would you like one? No, do you want to join our loyalty program?
No, I don't. I have in my drawer, I have about 10 different Boost Juice cards, loyalty cards, Baker's Delight. They're all there. I've never taken them back for the free bread. Number three, we don't have any time to try anything on. Close enough is good enough.
Correct.
If it doesn't fit, Mum can take it back during the week.
Just get extra large.
And the other one, this is more for men who are shopping for themselves. And as a man of girth, I think it's important that I put this out here, because I still get seduced and fooled by the mannequins. I still walk past the shop front mannequin and look in there and go, yeah, you know what? I think a figure hugging V-neck would be good for me. I think that would look good. I think I need some skinny jeans. I think that would look just as good on me as it does on that mannequin. So you got to ignore the mannequins, guys.
Ignore the mannequin. Good roll.
You do all of that, you'll be out of Westfield within half an hour, and pretty happy with yourself. But before I go, I do want to send out a shout out to Brooks Koepka, who won the US Open.
Bit of a no name.
He's such a no name. I'm not even sure if I pronounce it correctly.
How do you spell it?
I think Brooks, well, it's K-O-E-P-K-A.
Yeah.
I mean, good words your friends score, but otherwise, yeah, struggling a bit with that one. But Brooks Koepka, I'm going with, won the US Open. Bit of a shout-out to the commentators, and you guys would know about this. You've got to be careful when the relatives and the friends and the family of those who have just won a major sporting championship arrive and they run on. You just got to make sure you have the facts. This is one of the commentators celebrating the fact that Brooks' girlfriend was on course.
Easily the best player this week, leading the field in greens in regulation. His girlfriend, Becky Edwards, All-American soccer player at Florida State, pro soccer player.
And Joe, that's actually his new girlfriend. That's Jenna Sims.
Oh, fantastic.
Update your research.
He has one that one into the water for a triple bogey.
Becky, if you're at home watching, this is the new girlfriend.
This is the new one, baby.
I reckon Becky made her way to the course pretty quickly.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that was a triple bogey, Pete, wasn't it?
Oh, good stuff. Hey, so you're off to Japan then?
Off to Japan. Have you guys been there?
Yeah, I've been
No, so, I haven't.
I've got a couple of travel tips for you. Don't mention the war, probably. And the second one, you mentioned Coopers before. You actually, they have vending machines on street corners. You can buy a beer. It's unbelievable.
Right. So, right. Yeah, I've heard this. A beer and women's panties, apparently.
Yeah,
and
women's panties. You can buy hot spaghetti in cans, all sorts of things. So have a bit of loose change in your pocket in case you get peckish or thirsty.
I've heard that the food at 7-Eleven is actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
That's people have told me that. So the food at 7-Eleven is actually like pretty good. So I'm gonna test that theory.
Give it a try, Pete.
All right. Yeah, have fun, Pete. Stuff. Good on you, mate.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
See you, Pete.
Peter Hellyer. Pressure. So
much pressure. Adelaide's favourite contest is Triple M's Pressure Test. And
we've opened the purse strings here.
Yes.
Triple M.
It's now even bigger.
Oh, the pressure! I can't take it!
Triple M's 5K Pressure Test with Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Well, yesterday we proved that it can be done.
Of course it can be
unbelievable.
Done. It can be done 2 days in a row, Dits.
$5,000 went off yesterday. Right, we've got our three contestants. Oh, hang on. Let's hear from yesterday's contestant. Now, Vince, in 30 seconds, name 10... types of pie.
Bacon, steak, cheese and onion, pineapple, cheese, Bushman, steak and kidney,
yep.
Mushroom, apple pie.
Now I tell you what. Is this the first time? Is it the first time we're going to give it away? Vince, you've won $5,000.
Thank you very much, boys. Appreciate it.
Now, Vince, what are you going to do with $5,000?
I'll tell you what, I reckon I'm going to concrete the driveway, boys.
Is that right?
Sounds like a good Italian thing to do.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And now, Roo,
the rush hour
bagged us yesterday and said that we gave it away and he didn't get 10, but we've actually been back through it. We've listened to the tape a couple of times, and we didn't give him some. We didn't give him pineapple, and we didn't give him tomato pie.
Olive.
No, so we actually, he did get 10.
He got 10. Yeah,
so we're not just going to give it away.
Well, we don't give anything away.
No. All right, let's get to our contestants today. Three people on the line vying for their opportunity.
G'day, Todd from Melrose Park. How are you?
Hey, good, thanks.
What are you up to today, Todd?
Hello.
Yep.
What are you up to today, Todd?
Getting ready to press some boards at work, press some veneer on.
Oh, yeah, some floorboards.
No, just anything. They cut them up when they get to the customer for cupboards or kitchens or whatever.
Oh, okay, of course, yes.
Well done, Todd.
Yeah, good on you, Todd. Let's go to Seacliff. G'day, Kat.
Hey, how you going?
What are you up to today, Kat?
Well, I'm on holidays, and yesterday I got a little bit pissy at the pub and house inspection in an hour, so I'm there pretty much mopping my house, pretty much ready for them to come.
Right on.
Where'd you go on a Monday to have a few frothies?
Oh, just next door to the Seacliff pub.
That's a good pub, Kat.
Oh, Kat.
Oh, it's awesome.
And what about the view on a beautiful sunny day? It would have been perfect.
Oh, it was unreal. Just playing for the eight ball and, you know, had a few beers and, I was also mourning for my tree frog that did die.
Oh,
so
right.
We had a bit of a wake and that's what we, celebrated.
What was the tree frog's name?
Rocky.
Rocky the tree frog.
Green?
Yeah. Yeah, he was black, actually, because they killed his pigmentation when he was a baby. And, put him on a black table and he never turned green again.
Oh, that's worth getting drunk
for. We can talk for hours, seriously, but we've got to move on to Russell at Murray Bridge. Hello, Russell.
Yeah, mate, how you going?
Russell, you got very tough to beat at the moment, Rusty. You're going to have to come up with something really good. So just go wild and tell me what you're up to today.
Oh, well, I'm up to...
You're gone.
Dropping some grain, keeping the Weet-Bix coming, mate, to the kids.
Oh, I reckon we had you on recently, didn't we, Rusty?
Yeah, mate, I got through yesterday, I think.
Our producer needs to be sacked.
Creative, those come up with another story, so well done.
Well, there's only one to go for. Cat. Put the mop down, Cat.
Oh, cool.
You're playing for $5,000, Cat.
All right, is this for Rocky?
Right,
this
now,
is for Rocky, darling. This is for Rocky.
Speaking of which, we're going to give you a bit of inspirational music here. Here we go.
Oh, don't do this, Dits. Right on, Kat. This is Rocky.
Here we go.
You've got the eye of the tiger, Kat. Right,
are you ready to go, Kat?
Oh, yeah, let's rock.
Righto.
Oh, poor little frog.
I know. Oh, right, this show, the rest of the show, is dedicated to Rocky the Troll.
Rocky.
All right, Kat. That's so awesome.
Righto.
Right, Rocky. Come on, Adrian. Righto. 10 answers in 30 seconds, Kat, for $5,000 cash for Rocky's funeral. All right? 10 Channel 10 shows.
Oh, God. Okay. Ten news. What is there? Perfect Match. I don't know. I don't watch much TV. This sucks. Hogan's Heroes. I don't know. Bewitched. I don't know. Just Dream of Jeannie.
The Bachelor.
The Rat Show.
I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah. Hang on, Kat.
What a time.
Oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Correct.
There you go. 50
bucks,
Kat,
for Rocky's
funeral. You can have a couple more beers today.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Enjoy your holidays, Kat.
Yeah.
No, we'll do. We'll
Good
do.
On you. Well done.
Mm. You going to cremate him or bury him?
Oh, Rue.
I made a little coffin and I bought like a little tree for him and then a little cross and a little candle and that's when my neighbour and I, we had a beer for him and then that's when it ended up at the pub. Oh.
Good on you, Kat.
You've made me cry now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad too.
Righto. We've got to move on, Kat. Sorry, 8:15.
Do we have to?
Yeah, Ruined Dits, all thanks to Adelaide Tools, the show dedicated to Rocky the Tree Frog.
Mm-hmm.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Top of 18 today and sunny. Hey, Roo, your sister went through TAFE, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, yeah. She's a hairdresser and used to come down and stay in Adelaide, for a week at a time, a few times a year.
Yeah.
Probably several times a year to do her education in hairdressing and beautician and stuff like that.
So how did she practice her hairdressing?
How do you reckon? On her brothers, younger brothers. It was probably a bonus because it stopped Mum from cutting our hair, which was a good thing because she didn't have too many haircuts in her pocket. So we just used to, we'd come out with school photos. You just have a fringe straight across the front and look like you had a wig on everywhere else. Lisa started cutting our hair and we had flat tops. We had streaks in our hair. They'd pull the plastic thing over your head and she'd stick a pin through and pluck them through.
You went through that? You sat there wearing one of those?
Plenty of times. And it's like just getting a needle stuck in your head.
How old were you?
Oh, early teenage year,
So you'd go to school with streaks in your hair?
Yeah. And my brother had his back of his hair permed one day.
No.
Yes. He had a mullet with a perm. That's a bogan.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
That's a mullet with a perm.
And this is because she had to practice things that she was learning at TAFE.
Yeah, all that sort
of
stuff.
So you were the guinea pigs.
We were dead set the guinea pigs, yeah. And a few mates had come around and they'd end up getting done over as well and all of that. So that was just standard stuff. Yeah, perms, colours, streaks, different styles. Yeah, so, that's just what happened. Yeah.
So what would you say when your sister came to you and said, oh, Mark, I need to do some... you know, colouring or something on your hair? Well, you said, yeah, all right, no worries.
No, well, you'd sort of have, you know, you'd, what colour or, you know, you'd make sure you got sort of something that was semi in fashion.
Any disasters?
Well, I think most of them were disasters. Our flat tops were sort of in for about a year there, I think, at one stage.
What's a flat top?
You know, when actual dead flat on top, you know, like you, when you have short hair, about an inch long or whatever, and it sort of follows the shape of your head.
Oh, really?
A flat top is flat.
Right.
You know, remember the 80s film clips? Okay. You probably had a few blokes there that didn't last long for obvious reasons. And the perms at the back didn't last very long at all.
I'd love to have seen your brother because he's a big, tough fella.
Yes.
I'd
one was saying you shouldn't have perms.
A permed mullet. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And facials of all sorts. Yeah, we used to get all that sort of stuff done too. You went through that. You said it bloody yesterday. Yeah, you had a facial.
You do behind closed doors that you don't want anyone to know.
But actually really relaxing, having a good facial.
Well, my wife's best friend was doing the same thing, was studying to be a, what do you call it, a beautician or whatever.
Yeah.
So she needed practice. So she came over one day and the wife had a facial. Next minute she goes, right, your turn. I went, get out. You know, as if I was going to do this. Anyway, they talked me into it and said, look, it's just for practice. I need to do as many people as I can.
Relaxing.
Bloody hell, it was unbelievable.
Mm.
So I nodded off. And in the end, the best bit is at the end of a fate.
When
did
this happen?
Oh, it's 20-odd years ago now.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought your skin looked better the other day. But
Like a baby's bum.
Mm.
But the best bit's at the end. They give you a little face massage, which I wasn't ready for. That was very nice.
Yeah.
Very sensual.
Yeah. No, there's good things to come from it.
Yeah. I won't be racing
other than
back.
Their reputation getting tarnished.
I don't want to be seen coming
time.
Out of a beautician, you know, saying, yes, I've just had a facial. I won't be doing it again. But it was good the one time I had it.
Yeah, no, it is good. And that's what you sacrifice for family and friends, don't you?
You do. You do. What, to our listeners, this is for a couple of tickets to go to the footy for the Crows and Hawthorne. Mm. What have you had to go through? Like, when have you been the guinea pig?
Yeah.
Because your son, your daughter, your wife, your partner are studying something and they go, I need to practice this. Like, have you had to pose nude because they're doing art or something?
No, hang on, dudes.
No, well, my father-in-law, who's in his 80s, she didn't have to pose nude, but he said, I need you to be my model. And, of course, she said, get out, I'm not doing that. But
who did he ask?
His wife. So, and they're both in
their 80s. His wife.
Yeah. But, yeah, he got into doing all these watercolour
paintings.
Did
he paint it accurately or did he flatter her?
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, very
nice.
Did
he make it look a little bit better?
Gina Lollobrigida, she looked like.
Who?
You know. The modern day Elle Macpherson.
Right, eh?
Yeah. 133353, when have you been the guinea pig for your sister or your brother? Have you come out with, you know, wild hairdos or anything like that? A lot of girls these days are doing makeup. See, I know my niece comes around and does my wife's makeup now.
There
just
you
to,
go.
To practice on her.
Yep.
104.7 Triple M.
Oh, when have you had to be the guinea pig? Gee, Roo's sister used to do his hair, practicing her hairstyles. Fantastic. Right, who have you got, Roo?
And now it's all falling out because I had too much work done there. Let's go to Lockley's. G'day, Adam.
G'day, guys. How are you?
What's happened to you, mate?
My ex was a beauty therapist and she decided she was going to wax my back. the thing that was funny wasn't that my top. My brother was at the kitchen table at mum's place.
Yeah.
And he said, she'd get my beard done, eh? And she turned around and said, do you wear beard? She put a size of a teaspoon on his chin, took that off, and the shock look on his face was precious.
Beautiful.
All right, Adam, let's go to Smithfield Plain. G'day, Baz.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
What's happened to you, Bazza?
Unfortunately, when I was about 6 or 7 years of age, one of my sisters was getting married, and, of course, they've got the full brigade going, everyone involved, and they had the flower girls there, and unfortunately, I was the same size as the flower girl, not to be the model.
No.
The adjustment of the dress and everything. And,
oh, beautiful.
You know,
you're a cross-dresser.
No, I wasn't.
G'day, Danielle.
Hello, how are you this morning?
What happened to you, Danielle?
My friend was a beautician.
Who was,
and
sorry?
So my best friend was a beautician.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was studying her waxing. And so I gave her my bikini line and let her wax it. And at first she burnt it, so it was a bit hot, the wax.
Oh no.
And I was cool. It was the first time, and then a few days later it was actually burnt and the whole inside of my leg was purple.
Oh no.
Yeah. That's why she practiced on you and not a customer, Danielle.
Has she improved?
Yeah. It was bruised, yeah.
No, has she improved though?
Oh, she didn't go. She didn't follow it through. She
good career move. She would have needed a lawyer.
Yeah. Good on you, Danielle. Yeah.
Let's go to Warradale. G'day, Darren.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Good. What happened to you?
My wife was doing her first day of a TAFE course to become a phlebotomist.
A what?
What?
Taking blood.
Right.
Oh, no.
And she's got through her first day and come home, and she's asked if she can practice on me.
Oh, no.
What, with needles?
It's bad enough when a doctor does it, let alone
she had a couple of cracks, and the second time she got it, but I ended up pretty bruised.
Oh, no.
10 years later, she's still doing it.
No way I could have sat through that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You can't practice that
you
on me.
You just hope the doctor's sticking it in the right spot when he does it, but there's no way I'd let bloody my wife or whatever do it. Let's go to Parralao. G'day, Matt.
How you going, boys?
Good, mate. What happened to you?
Well, a mate of mine was practicing to be a tattooist, so he needed to get a pick for that.
Oh, no. Shivers. What happened? No. What did he put on?
Well, I thought I'd let him do the Southern Cross stereotypically because I thought that'd be nice and easy for him.
Where?
But on my leg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, it didn't turn out all that well. I ended up having to get it covered up.
You've just got these green blotches on your leg, have you?
That's how it turned out. It didn't look very good considering it's just a couple of stars.
Has he continued on his tattoo apprenticeship?
He has, but I've never gone back to him.
Good work, Matt. Let's go to Wollonga. G'day, Joe.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good. What's happened to you, Joe?
Right, when I was younger, my older brother, he took up boxing. And he tied me up with some sheets underneath my arms and that around my waist and then strung me up in the shed.
Didn't he have a bag?
You're a puncher bag.
No, he didn't. He just taken it.
Oh,
and then
he taped
pillows all around me and used me as his punching bag.
Fantastic. Don't you love older brothers?
Oh, they're good.
Fantastic
great.
Older brothers. They're well good done, for Jay. Your confidence. And good
work. I hope he won the world title, Jay.
Let's go to Valley View. Shane, can you top that? Have you been tied up?
There you go, fellas. All right.
Yeah, good, Shane. Shane.
Yeah. Well, my missus, she's into horses, right?
Yeah.
So she does the whole dressage thing, and you know, wins ribbons and
expensive ribbons.
Tell me about it. So I've got a big mohawk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she likes to practice the old plaits, which she does on the mane, and what she does for a horse's tail.
Oh, you're kidding, Shane, aren't you?
I'll tell you what, the lads at footy give me absolute hell for it, but yeah.
Rightly so.
It's all right. I don't mind it, but...
Rui, we got more than we bargained for you.
Well, Shane.
Some of these are fantastic.
Well, Shane, that's going to be hard to beat. I mean, Danielle's
like
hard
Joe.
To beat.
Joe the punching bag.
Joe the punching bag. I don't think you can beat poor old Joe. Yeah, and I can just picture it happening. Yep. Mm. You have no say. You're tied up and you're copping them left, right and centre.
Oh, look, this is a big field, a classic. What do you call it? A group one field.
This is group one.
We need to send someone off to the footy.
Poor old Joe.
Joe?
Still mentally scarred.
Good on you, Joe.
Joe, you're off to see the Crows take on Hawthorn. First v 17th. Doesn't sound like much of a match, but it'll be an absolute humdinger at Adelaide Oval.
104.7 Triple M. The QC that represented Carl Williams, Tony Mockbell, Julian Assange, and Chris Dittmer.
You want ants? You can't handle the truth.
And isn't afraid to tell it as it is. Peter Farris.
Yeah, now, Rue, this is on the back of the towering inferno in London. You've had some big questions to ask about this, as have everyone.
Yeah. Well, 79 people have been revealed that have passed away now. 79 people and still more
people
coming.
In a critical condition still in more the going. Hospital.
But it has come out that the cladding used on this tower was not... in the UK regulation, so
yep.
It's illegal. So there's going to be a massive case out of this. Mm. I mean, not going to get the lives back, obviously, but how are they going to sue the builders that did the renovation only a couple of years ago? I mean, this is going to be massive.
All right, let's go to our QC, Peter Farris. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What comeback is there, if any? So the families who have lost someone, can they... research this and or can lawyers research this and go back to the builders that actually put the cladding in the building?
Oh yeah, look, this cladding is El Cheapo cladding, and quite often it's been substituted in place of more expensive cladding so they make a bigger profit in building. That's what's happened.
So they'll be sued for sure.
Well, that's total negligence, isn't it?
Oh, it's shocking. And the they'll be able to sue the government authority that's approved the building. So, as you know, whenever you do any building, you've got to get a building permit and there's all sorts of regulations. So whoever the government authority is haven't done a proper job inspecting the building. So that's what will happen.
So
I think
that exonerates the owner of the building and the actual builder?
Well,
Maybe not the builder.
Each case would depend upon its facts as to whether it was the owner that specified it or whether it was the builder or whether the builder's made a bigger profit by substituting cheap cladding. We had this in Melbourne. A couple of years ago, I lived at Docklands in Melbourne in a high-rise apartment.
2014, I think it was, Pete.
Yeah, a couple of blocks away, exactly the same thing happened. Fortunately, nobody died, but at one of the lower levels, the cladding caught fire on the balcony, and it just went straight up like a Roman candle.
But obviously, people owned those apartments or office, whatever they were. So still, they want to be able to sue someone, don't they?
Well, that's right. I don't think there's going to be any problem about suing because undoubtedly they will be illegal because they're illegal here because they're flammable. So I think there'll be it's going to be another asbestos crisis because a large number of recent buildings in Melbourne are clad with them.
This is my point now. There's got to be so many buildings in Australia right now that's got this cladding in it, whether they know it or not, or whether they go and do a check because of this, and I'm sure everyone will do a check. If they are found to have that cladding on there, surely they're going to go back to the builder and say, look, this is not specified material here. You've got to get it out. If we have a fire, otherwise you're goners.
Yeah, look, builders are a bit of a problem because a lot of them are fly-by-night. And they're just companies which have no assets.
So if they've got no money to go back and change it over, the people who own the building are going to have another substantial cost on their hands, aren't they?
Well, that's right. I mean, if you're a body corporate and you've got to strip your building and the owners have to pay for it, which is what's going to happen, you could have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. For the privilege of owning an apartment.
Just to make one point clear here, Peter, if you say that you can sue the government authority that okayed it, when you sue a body like that, is it their insurance that pays out or do they actually have to physically pay it out of their account?
Look, it varies. A lot of governments don't have insurance as such with a third party because they can't afford to pay the premiums and they just carry the risk themselves.
Right.
But that's where the main litigation would be, I would think, because trying to track out builders, 5 years ago, did something from some little fly-by-night company, is almost impossible. But the bigger social picture is it's going to have to be treated like asbestos, and it's going to have to be taken off all these buildings, which is a multi-billion-dollar task.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to start looking at what we import from China a bit closer, I think, Pete.
Yeah, well, that's right. These are the El Cheapo Chinese ones, and they look like the good ones. Visually, you can't tell the difference.
Mm.
And cheapskate builders were just putting them on.
Yeah.
So it's a shocking thing all round.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you. And Rue, that's interesting that maybe they will sue the London authority, the local council that has approved this.
Yeah,
that's an interesting point of view. And
so they should.
And the other thing that Peter just said, I'll tell you what, if you're in if it's that good one that we have here in Australia, a Luca bond, I think it's called, if you make that stuff, you might be in for a big few years because they're going to have to replace a heck of a lot of this stuff.
Rue and Ditts for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
50% off Zinzi Silver Rings. Karen's of Hyde Park. 183 King William Road.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dears.
Oh, that was a bit all over.
Come on, girls, do it again, please.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dears.
That's better, thank you.
It's starting to get a bit cocky.
Oh, gee whiz.
I reckon we trade them in soon, get some freshies.
Mel the Button Pusher, Alice the Wag, and Ange Married to the Package, Mr. South Australia. Righto, I've got a letter here. I've been getting lots of mail now for the Angels segment. Peter from Mitcham has written.
Peter with an A?
No, I think it's a male. Well, it is a male.
Letters from blokes now.
Yeah, right. Peter says, first paragraph, usual, you're the best broadcaster on radio. No. Let's get through that bit. Let's get to the second paragraph.
Come on, stop telling lies.
And love you calling the footy. Let's get to the second paragraph. Right.
He's got a bit of a dilemma,
Peter. I'll paraphrase this
as
usual.
Must be a big dilemma if he has to ring you.
He's low. Don't worry, he's low.
Scratching it.
Went out with a girl for 5 years. He doesn't want to name her, but he went out with his girlfriend for 5 years. They've been split up for a year, so fair time between drinks. Now his best friend is going out with her.
Can't do it.
Is that a no-go zone or not? Well, I'll go to Roo first, obviously. Roo, is this a no-go zone?
Absolutely.
It's been a year.
No.
And he does point out, he says, I know they're doing nothing wrong. They haven't done anything wrong.
What do you mean they're not doing anything wrong?
Well, he doesn't think they were dabbling whilst he was still with her, because it's been a year. Can you go out with your best mate's ex?
You can, but you won't have a best mate.
Mel the Button Pusher.
I'm with Roo. Absolutely not. So technically, as he says, they're doing nothing wrong. They didn't cheat or anything like that. But it would make you rethink that whole 5 years you were with her. Because you would have been friends as well at the time.
Yes.
And you'd think they were attracted to each other.
He was mentally undressing her, wasn't
he? Yes.
I was going to go into the details.
Well.
Did Blake actually do that? Mentally undress. Do boys actually do that?
What?
Mentally undress people?
Oh, I'm not answering that.
Oh, yeah, right. You ask us
those
questions.
You both look so guilty right now.
Alice?
I will say that they do.
No, there's like... there's like a millions of people in the world. Or probably billions.
Mm.
I'm not sure. But there's so many. He has so many to choose from. He doesn't need to go with that girl.
Yeah, but if you're the one, you're the one, though. If he falls for her, he can't help it.
No, it doesn't matter because you're not the one.
Disciplined it.
Mm.
Yeah, no, that's so wrong.
So wrong?
Ruins a friendship and a relationship, you know?
Yeah. Alice, I'll bet in your high school years you went out with one of your friend's boys. I'll bet you did.
Oh, high school did.
I didn't
high
go
school.
Out, but I kissed.
Oh, well.
But I regretted it.
Oh, good. But same
it's
thing.
No, nah, when you're a 12-year-old, it doesn't matter.
No, right, Ange?
Yeah, definitely not. And it's just, I think it shows a lack of respect from your friendship point of view. Yeah, and if one of you have been there, you just don't want to, you know what the other partner's like, and it's too much head stuff going on there. Definitely not. Too much to
you
worry about.
You obviously disagree with this, Diz?
No.
You're fine with it?
Not at all. Okay. I'm just the letter
mediator. Okay.
The mediator. Okay. Righto, Ruth, this next topic
is
yours.
Girls, I want you to close your eyes. You're on a beautiful holiday, okay, in sunny Bali.
Yeah.
You're just cruising along the beach. And
so hot.
You've been for a surf and you've come out and you've worked up an appetite and you're cruising along the beach and there's a little cart on the side and they're selling some kebabs. And you munch your kebab down with a beautiful salad and you wash it down with a lemonade and then you find out you've just eaten dog.
Where is this coming from, Ruth?
I saw this last night actually on Facebook.
They're eating dog in Bali in the street food.
Really?
Yeah, little chihuahua salads and things like that.
Chihuahua no, salad.
But do the people know?
No,
well, it is not.
No, they didn't. Just, yeah. But what would you do if you're in Bali on a holiday, Ange, and you've just had a bit of tucker and you just realised you've had a little bit of Rottweiler?
Well, for one, I never eat off the streets in Bali ever because you just the Bali belly and it's just not worth it.
Just make so it you only have.
Eat
it.
Oh,
make
God. It you did. Oh, I couldn't. Oh. I mean, I'm not a dog person or pet person anyway, so I would just be horrified.
Would you stick your fingers down your throat?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, if I knew afterwards, I'd be just devastated. I just want to get that out of me as quick as possible. Yuck, that's foul.
I know. Alice,
and just from a hygiene point of view as well.
I would absolutely lose it. Like, I wouldn't be able to control anything that was happening to my body. I would, like, burst into tears just thinking about my poor little dog and, like...
You've just eaten Bruce.
Yours
would fit in a bread roll,
yeah.
Actually.
He'd make a good... He would make a good dumpling.
I've ever seen. Hot
dog. But have you seen those mangy dogs in Bali?
And that's the ones they're eating.
Oh, gosh.
It would be so tough, but
Low on fat.
I get like hard pressed eating a steak that's like really bloody. That turns me off a bit, knowing that that's cow.
Rue, I was watching the story last night, and one bloke said, "Did you cook this properly?" He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I just ate my bread." Anyway, Mel.
I don't get that.
The dog was still alive. Sorry. Keep moving.
Oh, yuck.
Mel?
Yeah, I'd be grossed out. And we're a society that sort of reveres dogs and doesn't care about the animals we breed for meat. Mm. But it's a couple of more issues, I reckon. The deception of it, not knowing what you're eating.
That's disgraceful.
Is the real problem. And also, I think you said before, Rue, do they poison them?
They do. Mm. Yeah, they poison them.
There's another issue.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to do something.
Whack a bit
to
of
the
poison
meat,
in there as well, yeah. Mm.
Doesn't that mean you eat the poison?
And it's going through our system or your system if you're eating it.
Mm. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Angels.
No, see you in Bali.
So we're not eating dog then.
That was weird. Who let the dogs out?
That is disgusting.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. For Adelaide Tools, with 5 locations, Paraka, Lonsdale, St Mary's, Gawler and Mile End. Or go online at adelaidetools.com.au.